Steve, happy Monday.
Yeah, happy to Monday to you, man.
Welcome to November.
Yeah, I love it. Leaves are falling.
Yeah.
I got a steelhead fishing trip coming up here. My brother and a good friend and I go float a river for 5 days and catch fish and drink beer and whiskey. So
doesn't
you won't
suck.
Be able to get a hold of me Wednesday through Sunday.
I like it. You just take one big boat and all go together?
No, we actually, it's a really small river. I mean, like there's times when it's 6 inches deep for a mile long and you're just dragging bottom. So we use these little tiny, traditionally like 9 foot little, pontoon cataract type things. And last year I bought a boat, called the Flycraft, and it's basically an inflatable drift boat.
Yeah.
Some guys developed it, like fly fishermen dudes, and developed it for kind of, the whole thing weighs 100 pounds, so you can just drag it wherever, throw it off a bridge. It's pretty freaking cool. So I bought it last year and used it, and I'll use that again. And allows me to take a little bit more gear, could take my dog and stuff like that.
Yeah. When we were in Colorado this September elk hunting, we kind of tried a plan C and took off from this access point area that was used recreationally a lot. And there was a couple there with those boats, and they had to be at least in their mid to upper 60s, and they each had one, and they were packing up to this. It wasn't a super far trek, but they were packing up to this mountain lake, and they were using those setups. They looked pretty cool.
Huh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was like hoping I could be doing that when I'm in my mid to late 60s. Yeah. So something timely this week, the Born and Raised Project Land of the Free 2.0 is launching on Wednesday. I know that Cody and Trent and those guys have been getting after it really hard to make this happen. So if you guys, I'm sure many of you are already aware, but make sure you go check that out. So again, the daily series launching on their YouTube channel, starting with, I guess they were in Oregon for the start, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. So that'll kick off the footage, and man, the daily series is happening on this week, the 7th. So make sure you go not only check that out on YouTube, but hit that subscribe button while you're there to catch all the daily series as that unveils, because it's going to be just like last year. It's going to be an awesome project to see for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Those guys are so awesome, and we have such a blast being a part of the project. It's fun. It's good stuff. I can't wait to check it out. I know I'll be ready to go Wednesday night watching it. Actually, no, I'll be fishing when I get back.
You'll catch up. That's the funny thing with that project too, is you miss those few days. You take a little trip and you get back, and they've just been crushing the dailies. So you have to now like set aside 2 hours to catch up, which is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So I pulled this from a review. I want to say it was an email from a listener, but it wasn't. This was something that was mentioned in an iTunes review, and I thought it was good to talk about a little bit. We could probably spend a whole hour long talking about this, but we'll cover it a bit here in this Monday minute. So this was from this iTunes review, and I'll just go ahead and read it. He says, my question and issue is this: how do others balance family and work to accommodate a passion for the backcountry? It seems that no matter what I do, I get some resentment from the wife over my time in the elk woods chasing bulls with my bow. I do things like go out of my way for extra special trips with the family, days at the spa, Legoland with the little one, etc. I'm just wondering how everyone else, and he has in quotes, gets away with it every year. He says, I get it. I'm using a lot of vacation time on myself, but I'd be miserable if I couldn't hunt elk, and I can't seem to have my wife understand. I end up leaving every year to go hunting, knowing it's not well received. What's the secret? He said, this is the one part I can't figure out. Finding elk, killing elk, gear, tuning, etc. I have all that covered. But this balance of family with my passion in the backcountry, I'm hopeless. Personal issues for sure, but something we all do wrestle with, especially as you got wife and kids and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How do you do it, Steve? I know, because not only for you is it you have these hunting trips, but then, you know, with work, it's like, well, now I have to go to this show, travel for this, do this event. So it's something that you've been dealing with for years and years now.
Yeah, 1000% wrestle with this. It's really, frankly, really, really hard. And obviously, you know, exacerbated by having kids. So, you know, my daughter just turned 2. My wife is now 2.5 months pregnant. So we got another one on the way. And balancing that all out is tough. You know, I feel I have so many kind of events that are happening that I always feel like I'm living from one to the next, right? Like it's ATA show, then it's SHOT Show, and then it's this, and then it's that. And, then summer hits, and it's like this summer I had, from like June through August, you know, of the available weekends, I think there was like two or three that were open where there wasn't something like planned. And so it's really hard. I struggle with trying to basically enjoy the moment. Like I'm always feel like I'm gearing up and planning for the next thing instead of, my wife is phenomenal at like just forgetting about everything and enjoying the moment that she's in, you know, and I'm always in my head thinking what I got to do next. So, but yeah, as far as planning it out, you know, I think, or as far as getting time out there, there's, some of that's just going to be your wife, right?
Like, yeah.
Or your husband. I guess you could throw that around, but, you know, that there's their personality and whether or not, you know, they're cool with you hunting. But you know, my wife's super understanding. She's not like somebody's wives could care, you know, just don't even care. They can go hunt as much as they possibly want to. And you know, that's great. I guess I'm jealous of them at times, but you know, my wife, she's understanding for sure, but there's always like, oh, you're going hunting. She's not, very rarely is she excited for me. She's just, she understands that it's something that I love to do. She knows that it's good for me, you know, good for the soul. She knows, obviously, I get somewhat of an advantage of, you know, hunting is in a sense work because we're always out there testing or doing videos or taking photos and stuff like that. I think the best lessons my dad ever taught me was just balance. So in all life, just balance everything. So balance work, balance family, balance hunting time versus family time, balance fun. You know, you just can't, don't do too much of one thing because then it, you know, gets you off. So that's really what I focus on. And I guess I try to stress to my wife, you know, I'm similar to this guy in that, yeah, I definitely, like, my wife's birthday is August 29th, which is basically guaranteed for the rest of my life. I'll be on my way out of town going hunting with the opening day of August 30th in Idaho. So I always do, you know, we celebrate her birthday a few days or the weekend prior to that. And I probably do more than I normally would just because, you know, I'm not around on her birthday. And definitely, you know, yeah, plan more vacations, try to be, you know, I think like Tyler Crockett, one of the guys from Pure Elevation we've had on here before, he's like, his whole goal, and he's talked to his wife, is basically just be, when he's home, he is home and he is super dad. Like he does absolutely everything he can to be as helpful as possible and take care of the kids. And then his arrangement with the wife is, you know, he does that and then he gets to go hunting a lot. You know, so it's kind of a balance there. He's not just at home being a boob sitting on a couch, not helping out. So, again, for me, I guess I try to help out as much as possible. We do a lot of cool family stuff. Stress to the wife, you know, how important it is for me to get out there and relax and kind of rejuvenate. And hopefully she's understanding with that. And I know there's some guys' wives. This guy's definitely not alone. I'd say 80-90% of the guys out there. Yeah. Are in similar shoes, some worse than others. So hopefully they're understanding. And if they're not, then I frankly don't know how you get past it. If it's like, I've got one buddy who basically loves to hunt, but gave up on it. I mean, he maybe gets out one weekend a year just because his wife fought him so hard on it. And it was literally like a fight if he was going to go hunting. And it's just like, man, that's not good for anybody. So I don't know. How about you, Mark? What's your solutions?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what you said is really good stuff, you know, about being home when you are home and that type of thing. I think I can, you know, this guy used the term like get away with it. How do you get away with it every year? And that's something that I've quote unquote gotten away with every year for the past quite a few years now. It's taking a big trip out west and taking a week plus away from the family. And that's not easy, especially with young kids. But I think one of the reasons I can get away with it is because the rest of the year I'm not a slouch. And my wife knows what that means to me. And so part of it is just her understanding, and that it's not her issue. It's our issue, I think, is the one wanting to take this trip on communicating what exactly, like, this is just more than a hunting trip, right? Like, I'm doing more than just going camping. I'm doing more than, you know, just having some time off. It's really good for me mentally, physically, for the soul. Like, I should be coming back as a better man, as a better husband, father, etc., from this week away. And I think my wife has seen that happen. And so it's easier for me to get away with it because she knows I come back and I'm basically rejuvenated, right? Like, yeah. I come back and now I am more engaged. Now I am less stressed and all that stuff. So I think that's been a huge factor for sure. So yeah, I think it's maybe part of the quote unquote issue is just that we don't communicate necessarily well, that it's just more than a hunting trip for us. If that's indeed the case for you, like it is for me. So yeah, I mean, there's so much to that. You know, as much as you joke about it, it is helpful to do things, I think, for your wife or whatever the situation is, as you do leave, to show her that you do understand that this is a sacrifice for her and you value that. And I think it's been somewhat funny. I've subconsciously done that. My wife has joked of like, what do I get this year? Because either before or after a big trip or a long time away, she would like, and this was so funny because I didn't do it on purpose, like, let me buy you X because I'm taking a week away. But it was just funny because she was like, yeah, if you look back on like 3 years in a row, like this year I got that, you know, there's like a piece of furniture or something she wanted and I ended up buying it. And then there was something else. I ended up, yeah, let's just get it. And I think, man, maybe it was subconscious.
That's funny.
So yeah,
that's pretty funny. One thing that you were saying about communication there, I think is communicating how much it means to you, but same lines is just communicating when the trip is and the duration of it.
Yeah.
I think as a general statement, most women are going to appreciate like having time to plan it. I know if it's like something I throw at my wife last minute, or I'm frankly terrible at, you know, just kind of communicate. There's so much stuff going on and so busy sometimes that I forget to tell her that, oh yeah, by the way, we've got a show next weekend and I'll be gone for a couple of days. So the more advance I can and let her know so she can kind of plan for it and prepare for it, she definitely appreciates that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. I over communicate what's the worst case scenario too, and don't let her know that that's the worst case scenario. But like with dates, for example, if I know for a fact it's like most likely I'll be back, let's say Sunday, but for sure I have to be back by like late Monday night type thing, I'll just tell her, like, yeah, I'm not gonna be back till late Monday night. And then if I show up Sunday, it's like, hey, I'm the hero, I'm back a day early. When in all reality, I knew that potentially I'd be back Sunday. So, you know, little things like that. And I'm not saying, you know, obviously be deceitful, but don't say I'm going to be back Sunday if that's only the best case scenario. And you know, there's a chance you're not going to be back till a day later, because then you just look like, you know, the big jerk. Yeah, there's so much to this. It would be fun to hear from you guys, the listeners, about the little things you do or maybe the little struggles involved in this, because it's for sure something that, especially as you get wife, especially as you get kids, you deal with. I mean, it's a whole different, we've been primarily talking about wives, but it's a whole different deal with the kids as well. And I know you'll get more into this, Steve, with your, you know, with Sawyer being young, but now that my kids are older and they were like Sawyer's age when I started doing this, so they're used to me leaving for a week plus at a time. But like this year, for example, I hunted in Colorado and was gone probably 8 days. I was home for I think 5 or 6 days and then left for another basically 8 day trip to Idaho. And when it came time to leave for Idaho, it was rough. Like, they're used to the one long trip, but having two within the same month, it was tough, man. Like, it was tough. My son, who's 6, was not stoked. My daughter, who was 9, was like crying, and she normally never cries, and she was like, Dad, why do you have to leave again? And talking about making it hard.
Yeah.
So, and then Steve, you didn't help, because I think I mentioned to you at one point when I got there, I was like, yeah, it was tough leaving this time. My daughter was crying. You were just like, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. Made me feel like a big jerk.
Yeah, it's, man, it's hard to leave my daughter. She's so stinking cute.
Yeah. So yeah, it's tough with the kids. And then, again, part of like how I deal with that is when I get back and, basically take the whole month of October and here, I mean, whitetail season's still open. I could be hunting every day. But I think like this year, for example, I got out three or four hunts in October, and every one of those but one was with the kids. So it was more about let's go out with them, let's have that time with them, and less about, me doing my thing. Which, I'm not complaining. It was awesome. I was gonna tell you, Steve, I took my son out this past week, and I have this ground blind set up, so we were just hunting for whitetails. And dude, like the level at which everything changes when you're hunting with a 6-year-old boy cannot be put into words. Like, it's just unbelievable. Like, no matter how many times you say we got to be quiet or anything like that, it just doesn't resonate. It's so funny. So yeah, I went with him, and we're only going out for like 3 hours, but of course I have my exo pack loaded with like Skittles and Lego Men and Pokemon cards and all kinds of stuff like that, which was super funny. But so yeah, we're in the blind, and long story short, we had three deer come by and no shot. And then this doe comes back, and at the time, my son, he got sick of sitting on a stool in the blind. He was sitting right on the dirt, right on the floor in the ground blind, so he couldn't see this deer that was coming back. And so I kind of told him, I was like, "Hey, bud, stand up, like slow and quiet, but there's a deer coming, stand up." And he gets up and he sees the deer, and he's all excited, and he's so excited he can't stay still. Like, he's moving all over the place. And the way that this doe was coming in, I thought I was gonna get a shot. And so I somewhat wanted to like tell him, I was like, "Dude, shut up and stand still. Like, you're gonna blow it." But then at the same time, I was like, "All right, I don't care what happens with the deer. I just want my son to enjoy the moment." So I didn't really care. And anyway, this doe ended up coming in, and it takes a turn, and it's headed right at us, like head on, full frontal. And then it gets to about 12 yards away, but it's still behind some brush, and then it has its head down feeding. So I have no shot, but the deer's standing right there. My son can't comprehend that. So he was like, "Dad, what are you waiting for?" And I was like, "Buddy, I can't shoot right now. I don't have a good shot." And then he didn't say anything, and he's quiet for a minute. And then almost like full voice, not even whisper, he goes, "Dad, shoot it already." Oh, it was so stinking funny. And I was like, again, I was like, "Dude, I can't." And so he's standing there in the blind with his imaginary bow, and he's like coming to full draw. And then he gets back to full draw, and he just releases, and he's like, poof. And like, he like three times, and he's moving all over the place. I can't believe this doe didn't spook. Anyway, long story short, we didn't get the shot, but it was so stinking fun to like have that experience with him. But yeah, I think, you just, as much as I love hunting and as it's good for me, I can't let that take away from the family stuff. So
Yeah.
again, it's one of those things, like you said, Steve, balance and keeping everything in perspective. And yeah, it's freaking tough to leave for a week, and it's hard on the wife, especially if you got kids. Like, that is not an easy thing. So yeah, we need to expect that it isn't, maybe expect that they're not going to be thrilled, but hopefully do it in a way where they realize what it means to us and how it can help us, and not be a deadbeat the rest of the other 50 plus weeks of the year.
Right. Yeah. I think long and short is if you're 24 years old and single, hunt your
Live
ass
it
off
up.
every freaking weekend.
Live it
Like,
up.
I used to hunt a lot, but looking back, like, I should have hunted so much more.
Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, listeners, it'd be fun if you have like, what's your routine? What's the things you found work? What didn't work? What struggles you had? It'd be maybe even, I'm sure we could get some hilarious stories or something like that, or maybe some really helpful advice, and we could always come back for another Monday minute and talk about what you guys do with this situation.
We should get a panel of wives on here is what we should do,
That would be
and poll them.
hilarious. Yeah, it'd be hilarious. So yeah, guys, shoot us an email. Let us know. Podcasts@xomountgear.com. Yeah, go do something to be a superhero dad slash father slash whatever you are this week, so that September rolls around and you have earned your time.